Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the All Acapella 10-10-10 special edition of New Eridu. Thanks to some drama with my cell modem today, I was not able to get enough good enough connection to upload my music for today. I only got one song up. So you're going to have to listen to me today. Today is October 10th, 2010, and this is the voice of New Eridu. As we close this day of celebration of community and enlightened consciousness, we recall the celebration and hopes of all peoples who have faced an ordeal, persevered through opposition and danger, and crossed the barren wasteland to finally reach the end of their struggles and finally see the promised land. The expressions of wisdom in today's Blog Talk Radio Marathon have lightened our burdens and have carried us along to the threshold of new being. We stand at a portal of our own making, which has been flung wide open before us. All that is left for us to do is to step across. In tonight's show, we'll examine how what we choose to take and what we choose to leave behind affects what we will manifest after we take that step. I have a very short program, and then I hope that people will call in and share things that they may have learned or experienced today and how they think they've managed to position themselves for the coming year. It's going to be an interesting year that we have coming ahead of us here. 2011 is going to be, if you thought 2010 was something, 2011 is going to be a lot more. Take us in some very unusual and unexpected directions. On the way home this evening, I saw what had to have been an earthquake light. I live in Texas. We don't have earthquakes here. We don't. But I saw one. And yesterday or the day before, there was an earthquake up near Midland, Texas. And they don't get earthquakes up there either. A few months before that, I had driven out to Brownwood, Texas, which is in the direction of Midland. And I was looking at the trees, and the trees are all dying up there. And it looks to me like something is coming up out of the ground and poisoning them. Well, there's a little volcano up there, and there's a bunch of salt domes. There had been a geologically active area up there at one point in the very distant past, and it looks like it's waking up again. So, I mean, it doesn't matter where you live. It can come after you as far as these earth changes are concerned. There's no safe place except in your own heart. You have to make your own safe place. You have to make your own plans and deal with things as they come. And then this next year, we're going to find out just how resourceful we are, because it's going to be coming at us. But it doesn't have to be scary, and it doesn't have to be bad. All we have to do is stay light on our feet. And that's part of the idea of stepping through the portal and determining what you're going to take with you and what you're going to leave behind. The show today, I'm not as prepared for as usual because of the various dramas that were going on. Yesterday, in my regular New Eridu broadcast, I discussed 10-10-10 being an artificial date. It's not a portal date in the cosmic sense of things. It is merely an arrangement of numbers that catches one's attention. Therefore, like any other day, it becomes whatever we make of it. Well, maybe not like every other day, because each day is different. But this is a little more than that. We're different. Compared to what we were a year ago, we're more powerful, and we're more aware of the power of consciousness to transform ourselves and the world around us. And as we look back again, when we get to this point next year, we're going to realize that whatever we grew this year, we grew even more. I mean, we are on a very fast track at this point. A few years ago, I was writing a story, and in this story was a system of teleportation portals. And I want to read a little clip out of this story to give you an idea of what I'm talking about. Maybe fiction will convey what I'm talking about a little more clearly than just trying to tell you about it. So this is a clip from a book that I'm writing. The title of it is Covenant. Don't be looking for it anytime soon. It's only half done. The dark-robed figure walked a seemingly erratic path along the treacherous, loose schist on the sheer slope of Skrifa Uruskaya. But each step was made with mathematical precision. At the base of the A-prime plinth, the interstices between points in space were specifically weakened, and with a flourish calibrated to evoke the precise character of his destination, he stepped off Charon and on to Earth. The way to activate these plinths in this world system is to carry into the teleportation plinth, the portal device, the exact thought, the exact character, the exact emotional content. You have to have all of your mental faculties and your emotions aligned correctly with your destination, or you'll wind up somewhere else or perhaps nowhere at all. It takes a great deal of self-knowledge and understanding of subtleties to be able to walk through one of these devices. I don't know if anything like that actually exists, but I do know that life is like that. You have to align yourself correctly with where you want to end up, or you will end up going somewhere else. Intent is not enough. Intent will carry you a long way. Intent is, I guess you could call it, the soft landing pad for if you miss, you know, the trapeze as it comes back to you. It's the thing that buffers you from error. So if you're a little bit off, sometimes your intent will carry you to where you're supposed to be anyway. It's a form of grace. But nothing can make up for misalignment. If you're really and truly misaligned, if you're really and truly mistaken and too short-sighted to realize that you're mistaken, there's not a lot that's going to make up for that. Maybe just sheer luck. But that doesn't happen very often. It's quite rare that sheer luck is going to assist you. You really have to know where you're going and hold the character of what you want to create, because really that's what you're doing. With each step that you take and every decision that you make and everything that you do, you're changing the future. You're changing all of the conditions that bias the future. And if you go into something and you know what you want out of it, but you haven't aligned yourself correctly with it, you're going to end up looping around an awful lot to pick up that missing piece. Because the universe is going to put you in a circle until you find that piece that's missing. And then it might allow you to continue on to your goal. By that time, your goal may have left. It may no longer be possible. So it's important to come in with the right attitude and the right internal alignment. Typically, what we're missing is an understanding of the nuances of the power that we're coming into. Probably the foremost lesson that you can learn about the power of consciousness to transform is this simple phrase: what we bring with us sticks with us. Let's say that you're contemplating a transition and you decide to take that next step. With that step, you will be grounding your light body into a new phase of reality and connecting your root to source anew. You're going to be completely transplanting yourself. And you do this every day. You do this with every new action that you take, actually. We talk about these portals as if there's some giant leap. Well, sometimes you can take a giant leap. If you condition your mind such and prepare yourself as such and your expectations as such, you can do it. But you could do this any day. And you do it all the time in little tiny ways. As you pass from moment to moment, you are transplanting yourself. You're reinventing yourself, and you're re-co-creating your creation, and everyone else's in that moment creates the reality. Now, consider the idea of the transplantation. What happens if you plant a little baby plant underneath another plant or in with a bunch of plants, so they're all crowded together? Just as that plant twists as it grows around the other plants and down, it puts its roots down into the soil and it runs into rocks and the roots have to move off to the sides, you're going to twist around all of the conditions in your soul and in your life as you transplant yourself. That's just simply the way it's going to be. Until you remove those obstacles, then you're going to have to twist yourself to get there. You have to clear a path for yourself. You have to get out of your own way. And a lot of people don't realize that. They think that everything that they have is fine. And I'll give you the example of all of the books that are out there right now on clutter. There is an entire industry out there dedicated to nothing but clearing clutter from people's houses. That's because people don't know how to let go of things. They don't understand what enough is, and they just keep accumulating and accumulating because there's this empty spot inside of them, and they try to fill it up with possessions. Well, people are like that emotionally too. You clutter yourself emotionally by holding on to old grudges and old memories and things that don't serve you well anymore. Or perhaps they never served you well, but you hung on to them because maybe you were confused by it and you thought maybe there was something to learn. Well, sometimes that's not the case. And particularly as you're moving forward, you have to learn how to let go of this stuff. You have to learn to let go of the things that are going to feed the ego in particular. And that is things like having to be right, feeling intolerance for someone else's opinion, not recognizing that there is a variety of opinions out there to be had, and that someone can disagree with you and that you might be wrong. How many people can't admit that they might be wrong? There's a lot of people that can't. I'm not going to be one of those people. All I can do, and I've posted this online just this evening, all I can promise is that I'm going to take every precaution that I possibly can to make sure that what I am doing is coming from me. I don't channel. I will not channel. And that I'm going to tell the truth as best I know it. And if anybody has a problem with that, then they're welcome to just not pay any attention to me. But that's not going to shut me up, and it's not going to stop me. Everyone needs to take that approach. There's no hard and fast rule, no pure truth. If we had pure truth, we wouldn't be here. But you can unclutter yourself from all of the half-truths and the pseudo-truths and the does this really matter, no it doesn't kind of stuff. Life is too short, and the time that we have left to accomplish many great works grows shorter every day that passes. There isn't time to be playing games. There isn't time to be wrapping around personalities. There isn't time to be playing, my God is better than your God. My alien species is better than your alien species. There isn't time to do that. But you know what? There's an answer to that. And the answer to that is mind your own business. Mind your own business. And what's your business? Your business is taking care of your responsibilities and yourself and your relationship with Source. That is your business. Your relationship with yourself and your relationship with Source is not going to be the same as someone else's. What is valid for you may not be valid for anyone else. And in fact, it won't be for most cases. It'll be in a few cases, it's going to be vastly different. That doesn't mean anybody's wrong. That means they're different. And different is required. There's a principle called requisite diversity. Requisite diversity is a biological concept. When you talk about an ecosystem, if it has requisite diversity, that means that it is a healthy and robust ecosystem that is capable of surviving stresses and less than optimal conditions. And things, you know, things can go wrong for quite some time, and the ecosystem will not be wiped out because the species are able to adapt, and there's enough different kinds of species, and there's enough genetic diversity within the species that they can adapt so they don't get wiped out. The human race has been engineered systematically over time to lose that requisite diversity. There's this cookie-cutter approach that our society takes, that everybody has to believe the same things and look the same way and dress the same way and have all the same stuff and do the same kind of work. And, you know, conformity, conformity, conformity. You go to school, and what are you taught? You're taught to conform. And if you don't conform, then you're a discipline problem. Well, I am a discipline problem, okay? I have always been a discipline problem. I have never conformed. I am never going to conform. If somebody says I have to do something, I will do something else. And one of the things is watch out. If you think you have two choices, guess what? You don't have two choices. You have way more than that. Don't get pigeonholed. As you approach these transformations in your life, consider how many different directions you could branch. It's almost infinite. Why select from only two? Why select from only a handful? If you don't find something that perfectly suits you, invent it. Don't just take it. Invent it. You don't have to get it from an authority. You are the authority. You're the only authority on you because you're in there. Nobody else is. So when you're aligning yourself, align on principles that are true for you and let others do the same for themselves. Mind your own business. If you're busy minding your business, you have enough to do. You aren't going to have a lot of time to be minding someone else's. That which is not in proper alignment with the things that you want to accomplish in this new phase of your being will twist you and will make it harder for you to accomplish your aims. True. What I said, you step through the portal and you're carrying with you baggage. You're carrying with you all of your old wounds. You're carrying with you all the old heartbreaks and the mean things that somebody did to you in second grade or whatever. Your failed marriage, the relationship with your kid that isn't what you'd like it to be. Your disappointments about things that have happened to you in your career, concerns that you have about people who believe things that are contrary to what you believe. That's all baggage. Every bit of it is baggage. Can you set that down? When you are standing there at the portal for transformation, how much of that can you set down? Because everything that you take with you is going to skew the outcome as you step through. Because when you're stepping through a transformation like that, you're recreating yourself. And you're going to integrate all that stuff back into you. And then you have to kind of shed it again. You want to do that? You already have been dealing with it for so long now. When you step from your physical body to your light body, do you want to bring along all that stuff that was 3D? Okay, maybe the time has passed and you've gotten the people out of your lives and you've dealt with the circumstance to where it's no longer causing you active trouble. But it's still in your mind and it's still in your heart. The other day I was having a conversation with Enki. Whether or not you believe that I actually do that, I don't care. I do, and it's real for me, and it works. But I was having a conversation with him, and I was discussing the fact that I have injuries from having been in the reincarnational meat grinder, as I put it, for too long. And I said, I don't know how I'm going to step into this new existence with all of these wounds. I have to find some way to get rid of the wounds. And he goes, oh, those are just, they're just badges of honor. They show that, you know, you've been doing this for a long time and you've been heroic. I said, that's not good enough. That's not going to get me through this. Because then actually I'm carrying something more. I'm carrying a martyr complex if I come through with that thought in my mind. Is that what I want to create in my new reality? No. I want to create a whole reality. I want to create a reality in which I'm not damaged, in which I don't have these scars, that I don't have these fears. Just because it's happened to me every time in the past that it's going to happen to me again. So guess what happens? You get a self-fulfilling prophecy. So even the ones that really understand how this stuff works, because they've been dealing with it for a while, don't quite have it right. It's hard. It's really hard. It's hard to let go of things that you're used to. It's like your security blanket. You're so sure that you've been the defender of the faith. You're so sure that you're the one that sticks up for, you know, the underdog. Maybe that's not what you need to be doing, because if you do that, if you carry that through there, guess what you're creating around you? The need for someone to be an underdog. The need to have to stick up for somebody. So you're putting this condition out there that's going to continue the same bad stuff. Set the baggage down. Stop being the hero. Stop being the person who is in charge of protecting other people. Stop assuming that you know how to protect other people. Stop assuming that they need to be protected. Set it down. Be okay. Either you're in whole hog on this transformation or you're not. Either you are entirely aligned with your will to transform yourself, or you're going to get more of the same. You have to be willing to go to the very end of your being, to run all the way out until there's nothing left of you, and then recreate yourself in your own image. Yep, I said, in your own image. In magic, there's actually an operation for doing that. It's called the Ritual of the Abyss. The Egyptians practiced a form of that, where they would bury a person for 3 days. It was a sensory deprivation exercise. And that person would essentially be dead for 3 days, and they would experience themselves completely without any other inputs, to where they were completely responsible for generating their own realities. It forces a person to look at themselves in terms that you just cannot do under any other condition. You literally divest yourself piece by piece of what you are, or what you think you are. What you're really doing is you're removing your ego. You're unclothing your ego and removing it in layers. The story of Inanna, when she went into the underworld, that was the journey she was making. She was discovering who she was, and did she have an eternal moat within her? Was there an eternal nature under that, or was it just flesh? Inanna took off first her crown and then her clothing one piece at a time as she went into the underworld. And when she got down there, she met her fate alone and naked. She was in the underworld for 3 days. And then she returned. It's a fairly common theme in religion. And it really has less to do with personalities. You know, which particular god really did it, okay? It's not a competition, okay? There's probably been a number of people who have made a similar journey. Any magician who undertakes the Ritual of the Abyss does the same thing. You systematically strip away the ego. You run out until there is nothing left of you. You get out to the end, and the force of gravity, I don't know what, some force out there. You're a sender. You're nothing but a sender at that point. Will suck you back in. And as you come back through, you clothe yourself again. This would make a great special effects picture, let me tell you. It'd be pretty gory, too, because, you know, imagine the body being reassembled. You come back in and you have a choice. I was stripped of this thing. Do I still need it, or do I leave it here? You can unclutter yourself very effectively with this particular exercise. Because it's a choice on the way back up, out. You don't have to pick up the things that you don't want anymore. So that when you arrive back into normal 3D, you're clean. You are only the things that you have chosen to be. That's why I say choose wisely. Now, if you ran out and did this exercise and on the way back you picked up everything that you had deposited, would that have benefited you at all? No. You'd be right back where you were. You'd be right back into the same screwed up stuff that you were presumably undertook the endeavor to get rid of. So here's your chance to drop the baggage. Here's your chance to reinvent yourself. And you can reinvent yourself any day. You can do it today because a lot of people are doing it. The energy's high. We've had a lot of pep talk going on today. A lot of people are aligned with this idea, so you can kind of surf that wave. But you can do this any day. It doesn't matter. You just make up your mind. The power of consciousness to create is the same every day. Because it's not just your individual consciousness. You're a part of Source. You have the entirety of the entirety behind you. Isn't that scary? Isn't it scary to be that powerful? Yeah, it is, actually. But most people are too scared of it to use it. Source wouldn't have given it to you if Source didn't want you to have it. So everything's a test. See how much nerve you have. Hesitation tells you that you're not ready. Hesitation tells you that you still have lessons to learn. Hesitation tells you that I don't feel like I can get over this. It's because you've got baggage. You're too heavy. But you can change that. You can change that in an instant. All you have to do is make up your mind and really mean it. Really align your will with it. Really be. If anybody wants to come call in and discuss anything that they may have learned today, please do. Lines are open. I can continue talking if necessary, but I'd really like to hear your perspectives also. I know a lot of us have been listening and listening and listening and listening all day long, and now it's your turn to talk a little bit. Now it's your turn to tell your story. So, if you call in, go for it. Here are a few things that I went out surfing on the internet yesterday to find out things that were going to be going on today. And here are a few things that I picked up, just some trivia here, things that actually happened today. The first thing that was interesting is I went and looked at Wikipedia to see what all happened on this day in history. And honestly, there wasn't a lot interesting that went on this day. It was really kind of boring. Some days, you know, famous people are born, famous battles are fought, you know, interesting things have occurred. Today, not so much, which is kind of interesting. But a few things interesting happened today in the today. The first one that I found was a Global Work Party Day. To celebrate climate solutions, people meeting up and talking about green, sustainable things for the planet. That looks pretty interesting. I'm not aware of anything that happened here in this local area, but, you know, anything that's going to help find better solutions of how to live with our planet, I have to be aligned with that. There was also a jailbreak release for the Apple iOS 4.1 devices. Now, I'm not an Apple person, so I assume that's like the iPad or whatever, some kind of smart devices that they have. Jailbreak is where you can break free of a particular carrier, I believe, like it's for a mobile phone. I'm not so sure that entire thing is a good idea. The whole consumerist thing, that's probably not something I would pay a lot of attention to. Lots of people are choosing this day to get married because it's a memorable date. That way you can look at your spouse and go, how could you possibly forget our anniversary? Some people really want that memorable date. And then supposedly the next, 999 was supposed to have been a big day. And then now it's going to be a little over a year for 11-11-11. So after 12, I think they're kind of out of luck. Back in the cycle of forgettable dates. Some of those marriages are going to work and some of them aren't. Just like any other day, just because they chose this day doesn't mean that they're going to have a better ride through life. But I wish them all well, and I wish that even the ones that don't work out, that they come away from their experience with something. Whee! Can you hear me now? I have no idea what happened there. I just got disconnected. And I don't have a clue what was the last thing that you heard. I was in the middle of welcoming Manu from India and thanking Manu for joining us. So, welcome from India. I guess it's probably still daylight for you over there. So thank you so much for joining us. I wish I knew where I left off. I'm probably going to repeat something here. If anybody wants to call in, please do. Hopefully won't hang up on you. I was going on it's 1 month before the Large Hadron Collider is set to run the first of a series of experiments that are 60% likely to produce strangelets. And strangelets are an exotic form of matter that is thought capable of starting a chain reaction that converts normal matter into strange matter, such as found in pulsars. That's kind of a scary thing, okay? When they first talked about the Large Hadron Collider, the idea was it was going to be mini black holes. Well, these are even a little worse than mini black holes. These things actually can change matter into a completely different form. It's not a matter of just sucking the matter in. It's a matter of it actually transforms it into a strange configuration. They say that if a certain number of these strangelets are generated, and they think it could be as few as two, that are formed, that they could literally turn this planet into a essential crystal. And there are some people out there who believe that they foresee a future where we become crystals. And I don't know. I just don't see myself as a crystal. That's not cutting it for me. I prefer to be the ugly bag of water, like the crystalline entity referred to humans as in Star Trek. So let's hope that our alien friends, if they're out there, the same ones that have been messing with the nuclear stockpiles, will similarly continue to throw monkey wrenches into a Large Hadron Collider to prevent it from doing strange things with us, literally strange things in physics terms. The Roman numerals for today are XXMMX. So that's kind of interesting. And it's also, some people are calling today binary day because it's 101010. the interesting mathematics about the day, in base 10, it's 10. In base 2, it's 10, 10. The base 2 binary of 10 equals 42, which, of course, is the meaning of life, for all of you who may have seen that movie, Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. Oddly enough, this is evenly divisible by the number of days of the week. And it's also evenly divisible by the number 6. So it's divisible by 7, which is considered a lucky number, and divisible by 6, which is considered to be unlucky. And then the yang situation seemed to be incorporated in this date. So anyway, it's kind of interesting things about today. Back to our closing now, because we're coming up on midnight Eastern time. I'd like to leave with a prayer and a thought for carrying on, and that is that everyone may find their path, that everyone may release those things that are not serving them well, and thus open themselves up to new opportunities, to greater loves, and a closer unity with Source, and more freedom in every aspect of their lives, that they may lay down their fears and pick up their courage, that they may manifest all that is within them to manifest, and that regardless of what they believe, that it serves them well. Because that's all the measure that's necessary. It's whether it serves you well. Source didn't send us out here to be at each other's throats. I have been working very hard to try to mend some of these divides. To mend a divide between people, you have to understand what the divide is before you can mend it. That's not being negative. That's seeking understanding. Mend the divides within yourself. Mend the divides between you and others. Find the common ground. Source is waiting. Source wants you the way that you really are. Remember requisite diversity? Requisite diversity was Source's idea. Source made so many of us in so many different expressions because Source needed every one of us to be unique so that each one of us would experience more and different things. Do you think when we return to Source that we're going to just dissolve away into one amorphous whole? I don't think so. I think that's what Source was trying to escape. Why would Source want to go back into that condition if he wanted to escape it to begin with? And I use the male pronoun simply because that's grammatically correct. it's impossible to tell gender. I assume that there must be some elements of gender, but probably not like what we experience them. There's a saying in magic, I am divided for the delight of being reunited. And that's probably something that Source understands. As you turn around and face that portal, having looked back over your life and decided what it is that you want to bring with you and what it is you want to leave behind, and what attitude and feeling that you want to carry with you as you go through the portal, what's going to get you from here to there? What's going to get you from where you are to where you want to be? As you manifest that throughout your entire being and you amplify it until your entire body and your spirit and soul and mind are all harmonized to that same intention, that same feeling, that same emotion, that same sense of beingness as you step through to find the vector that you're supposed to find to carry you through to the next thing that you need to do. Do that in every moment. From that first step, that first conscious step that you take. Up until now, perhaps your steps have been unconscious, or perhaps they've been partially conscious. With each step that you take, re-manifest these things and tweak on it and become closer and closer in alignment. Find Source within yourself. Understand that you can look at another and say, you embody the things that I don't believe in, the things that my alignment says are anathema. That's honest. That's true for you. But understand the day is going to come that you're going to look at that same thing. And it's going to be the coolest thing ever. Because you've reached the point where you've found common ground with that thing that used to be your opposite. What is your opposite now is not going to be your opposite in the future. You have the right, because of where you are now, to say, that's not me, and to reject it. Because that's what you need to do. It's what you in your development at this moment in time need to do. But every time you do that, you need to have that little thought in the back of your mind that says, no blame. I know that that person is as much going through the same thing as I am. They are only being what they need to be in this moment. And just go with it. Try to heal the divides. That's how to crack that one open, realizing that we're all in this together. That's how we crack it open. Divides only exist when there is a barrier. Break through it. You break through it by realizing that there isn't really a division there. I'm reading here in the chat here a little bit. The end of duality perception. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. Awakening the creator consciousness within our souls and expanding our awareness and inner knowing of our oneness with each other in all of the multitude creation. That's true. That's absolutely true. Ho'oponopono. I don't have to agree with you, but I have to respect your right to be what you are. I'm going to close out this evening with a song. I did actually get one of them to upload. And this one is The Fires at Midnight, because we're coming up on midnight, by Blackmore's Night. Blessings to y'all.
I knew I would never be alone while I